Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for personal care. If you have or you suspect you might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of this radio show or their sponsors.
Welcome to Let's Talk Healing. I am your host, Anna. Today, we are discussing the role of the energy healer and why energy healing right now is such a big topic. Listeners, I would like to first thank you for your time and for your listening support. I'd also like to thank our sponsors. Our show today is going to feature also two guests, the lovely Carol and the lovely Saber, who are with us every week to discuss these topics. Right now, I would like to introduce you to Atana, who is the spiritual healer this show is dedicated to, and he's just amazing. You've just heard his music, and you'll continue to hear his music throughout the broadcast. He's an author, musician, master energy healer, international teacher, and just a funny guy. He tells some pretty good jokes. So if you want to find out more about him during this broadcast, you can Google him or look up his website. That's the word I was looking for, atanamethod.com. But right now, I'd love to introduce you to Atana. Good. Hello, Atana.
Hello, wonderful Anna. Hello, wonderful listeners. Hello, wonderful guests, Don, Carol, and Saber. How is this wonderful Anna lady doing today?
I'm pretty good. I was just saying off air, it's a public holiday here in Australia because we've got a great big football match that they have the grand final for, and everyone tunes in. So it's a good morning for me to be up and chatting to you early because it's pretty quiet outside.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited that we make this happen today, that we support another day moving forward and supporting the healing of the planet and humanity.
So, Atana, just on that, you know, this role of the energy healer and the healer in general has really become very prominent, well, to me anyway, in the last, really, it feels like recent times. And I really want to understand why that is. Why is the role of energy healer such a big topic?
Well, people get more and more aware of the underlying vibration that makes up this reality. People realize, you know, there are certain patterns, there are certain habits that create outside experiences and expressions. and more people, we get more and more sensitized and sensitive in terms of what's happening. Just even if you look at the different colors that are developing every day, just think about how much more the underlying intention plays a bigger role, because we're realizing there is, in this old pool of unconsciousness, there is some linear and some parallel connections that have to do with energy, and they're very easily identifiable. We're having in our energy, in our physical body, we have an energy body. We have a bioenergy flowing. We have an auric field. We have an emotional, a mental, a spiritual, a physical body. And we're realizing that, for example, dental hygiene, we know it's a physical thing, and there's mental hygiene. We know that we can get mentally cluttered. That's a whole nother level. And that was really not being fully considered. Just like 10 years ago, you would talk about stress and people would laugh at you. And now it's like stress is a serious problem. And, you know, as something as simple as stress, for example, is something that's being recognized as an underlying factor for disease. And so the more we become aware of what creates disease, the more we have to look at how can we change that setup, that system, so it can serve us better and we keep a better health for our lives, you know?
Yeah. So do you think that sort of the world is a pretty stressful place and it's pretty quick. I just even look at my own children and their lives today and how that's different from my life as a child. You know, there were no iPads, there were no smartphones, there were no... these kids are inside a lot watching fast-moving video games or even YouTube for a long period of the day, and certainly that would have to raise stress level just in children alone, let alone us as adults and the lives that we live with computers and emails and social media. I just find, and I'm not even on it very much, but just bombards our lives. You know, do you think that is why it's the stress that all of this is creating, that, you know, energy healing is more important right now?
I feel that definitely plays a bigger role, because if you really look at it, we do a lot of our individual and professional work really now on with our fingertips, literally on the phone. You can make money transactions where you would have to call in the past, like on a button, on a click, you know, and you transfer money. You receive money. You create a business deal, an order, literally now on the fly while, you know, in between traveling somewhere. And in the past, there was just something that was like more an involved transaction where you had to be fully focused. You had to go to the bank. You had to deposit a check. Now you can do mobile deposits. You can deposit your check right there on the phone, just wherever you are. And so that, of course, opens up a whole lot of prosperity and possibilities. But at the same time, people are multitaskers. They want to get stuff done fast and effectively. So they're trying to do as many things in one wash up as they can. And, you know, and a lot of people who are probably listening right now to us, they're in the cars, you know, and we know how easy that is, where you say, you know, you pull your phone out, you get a text. But now it's so easy, you can also utilize Siri or voice recognition software, and you can basically translate this in writing or in text. But ultimately, that makes us so much more effective, but that means we have less and less free space that we can utilize for focusing on our breath, for focusing on ourselves, for focusing on the divine. And these moments now that we have, just think about somebody who is cluttering the house, who has a lot of clutter in the house. Just think about whenever we have some free space in the house, we're not just putting a box of something in there because it's a free space. And it's the same with free time. a lot of people, they're cluttering their free time and basically add something else in there. Think about time as an empty house. And as you, as you're moving in into the house, you're deciding to time management what you want to have in these or there, these rooms, where the bedroom is, the master bedroom, you know, the guest rooms, etc. And then just think about what we do in stress and energetically wise in order to be effective. We are cluttering. We're putting as much stuff in there as we can. And that's what we do in our daily lives. We do as much as we can in that time that's being given to us or that we think we have, so that we get as much completed. But we get soon to a realization that it's never being done. And it doesn't matter how effective we get, and it doesn't matter how much we get done, it's never going to get done, ever. But we get more effective. Now, and that's something where we have to realize, where are our limits and where is our healthy understanding of what we truly can manage? And since we are also so effective and we are also, as humans, the human race in itself is greedy. It wants more and more and more. And when you think about this, of course, it makes you like an athlete. You get more and more effective, and then you can do actually more. It's like the more you run, the longer you can run, and the faster you can get run, that you can run, because your system gets used to it. So the more you complete on a daily basis with your tasks, even on your smartphone device, the more you can do the next day, because you actually get faster and more effective. Your system knows where the buttons are. It's like you're playing Pac-Man. You know exactly where the little ghost's going to come after a while, because you're playing it every day. And so on the phone, on the smartphone, you know when you go into PayPal, you know what you need to do, or you have now face recognition, or you have fingerprint recognition. You know the transactions when you go into your online banking. You know where the buttons are. You know what to push. So you get more and more effective, and you don't have to think as much about it. So it's happening that you now can fill that space that you used to look around on that app. Now you can utilize, meanwhile, another program while you're using that app, and you multitask again. And the next day, you may be able to toggle between three apps. So you get more and more effective and faster, because your system is always streamlining, and your brain is always like, how can I make this faster, better, and less wasting less time? So, and that creates more and more stress, but you don't realize it, because your system is already performing on such a high level. And that's where you have to look, and you have to be the parent for yourself, and you have to say, okay, this is my time for my break. Right now, I can turn the phone off. Nobody is going to bother me. Nothing is going to happen right now, except that I'm going to sit for 2 minutes and breathe. And then have like this beautiful inhale to your nose and exhale to your mouth.
And hopefully listen to one of your incredible mantras.
Oh,
it really does make a difference.
Do an 11-minute break for the mantra.
Hari,
oh, my God.
Yep.
It's gonna reset your whole system, and you're going to get back on track immediately. And, of course, you have to find these beautiful balance areas and oases throughout your day where you know, this is for me right now, because without my system, nothing is going to work.
It's so true. And I just think this constant stress that you're talking about just then creates exhaustion. And I mean, it's really interesting. I know in my own life and my journey into adulthood, in my younger years, you know, there were times where I just exhausted myself because I wasn't familiar with the boundaries around that, you know, where I needed to replenish myself. And I'm sure that's a very similar story for many of the listeners as well. And also our guests, you know, we'll talk to them in a minute. But it's really this exhaustion and this stress that is just prolific, it seems, everywhere. And maybe that's why the role of energy healing is such a big topic right now.
Yeah, and energy healing gets you right back where you actually start feeling yourself, because we are so mind-driven that everything has to be completed with the mind, has to be so sharp. because you want to create as many solutions as possible and complete as many tasks as possible. And energy work brings you back where you actually activate. Now think about what it requires for your whole system to power your brain. Your brain already uses 25% of the overall body energy. Now when we go into doing faster tasks, we don't even know how much more energy our brain is utilizing, and we don't even know what that stress affecting our system is depleting of life force. So it might be that actually, realistically, 45 to 50% is being diverted towards the whole activity. And then we don't even, we haven't even started conducted scientific project yet into that are really sufficiently would make that clear and transparent what's happening. Now think about how much energy each chakra, from my point of view, I'm looking at what energy is required to fuel the whole system. Now root chakra needs to be active, second chakra needs to be active, third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh. And what is that require for the rest of the body to function? Because we know when somebody is stressed, it has to do with the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system that's being out of balance. That means it affects the digestive system. It affects the heartbeat. It affects the overall flow of all energies and blood and circulation in the body. So because when we are all energy diverting up into the brain, then the first three chakras are basically closed down. The heart chakra is not being fully utilized. So mostly, and I think that's one of the reasons why so many people, when they go into the multimedia, into the social media, why they're so cruel, because they don't feel. Their hearts are not active because all their energy is diverted into the head. And they're just thinking strategically how they can get something or hurt somebody without really any consequences and being like anonymous without not getting anything back. That's all like vicious stuff. If you would be in your heart, you would never do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for pointing that out, Atana. We're going to have to go to a quick commercial break now, but when we come back, we're going to bring in some of our guests and discuss why the role of energy healer is such a big topic right now. Stay tuned.
Oh, my God.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Healing. Once again, I'm your host, Anna, and today we're discussing the role of the energy healer and why healing right now is such a big topic. We have a couple of guests today with us. One of those is the lovely Carol. Hello, Carol.
Hello.
How are you this week?
I'm fantastic. I'm an energy healer.
We love that.
How could I be anything else?
Of course, all you energy healers are just vibrating at such a high level that it's, you know, always a pleasure to interact with you because you're also positive, which is nice. I just wanted to talk about this role of a healer. You know, healing seems to become very popular all of a sudden, and people, you know, I've been fascinated by healers and healing for most of my life. However, a lot of my friends who would have never even broached the topic also now have healers, and there seems to be this growing acceptance of energy healing and the need for energy healing. There just seems to be this need for it everywhere. Carol, tell me a little bit about why you believe that's the case. Why do you think the popularity of energy healing and the healer is rising in public view?
Well, I think that we have done a really good job as a humanity, you know, people in our culture, of deceiving ourselves. You know, we talked about that a little bit last week with deception, and as Atana was saying, we're so in our heads and in our minds, and as computers came in and technology came in, and like, think about how the colleges have changed over time. When you were a learned person, it used to be that you had a liberal arts degree, and you read books, you know, and you had like a varied education. And now it's like, you know, you have to know technology, you have to like practically know computer programming and how to work different devices, and everything's so centered towards this, like, analytical technology stuff. And what I see is, like, we have been just, like, putting all our feelings and emotions and stuff sweeping them under the rug. So what's happening now is, there's so much light coming on the planet that everything that was hidden, you know, just like is having a harder time staying hidden, even the stuff within ourselves. So when we were hurt as a child, even if it was just, you know, another child on the playground saying a mean thing to us, we just naturally, at least I did in my childhood, you know, you just kind of stuffed it. And so it's like, I see what's happening is like a big flashlight shining on the planet now. And like these things are coming out like, hey, look at what happened when you were in third grade, you know, like this really hurt. And whether we're conscious of it or not, it's coming up. Maybe that thing that happened in third grade is revealed to me by, you know, another adult now interacting in a certain way that triggers that same emotion. And so, like, for example, like my clients are coming to me and they're, you know, quite a few people are coming with anxiety. And a lot of times what's happening is like, that's, I feel what it is. It's like these suppressed or pushed down emotions and traumas and abuses and, you know, whatever, are asking to be healed. And there's light being shown on them now. And whether the person is consciously aware of it or not, the system is starting to see it. And so, you know, they're like not, they're not feeling as well as they were before when they were just like the light was off in the room, to use Atana's analogy. You know, and it's like, so when things start being revealed, it's like turning the light on in the room, and then you can see what you've stored in the room. And so I feel that more and more this is happening, where people are like, you know, anxiety or panic or sadness or, you know, physical difficulties, and they're saying something has to be done, because like this isn't like, you know, this, what I'm feeling isn't something to be addressed in the medical field, so there has to be somebody who has the skill set to help me work with this. And so they're finding energy healers, because that's what we can do.
Yeah, bringing all of that up, it's quite interesting, because I'm also fascinated in energy healing and the role that it can play and the potential that it has, can play in building high performance. Because for me, or my, I can only speak from my experience and with working with what you guys do, is that it really unblocks so many of those patterns or limiting beliefs that keep people stuck in mediocrity. And using this healing is enabling us to become, you know, higher performance when we clear out all of this stuff, Carol. You know, are you seeing that as well? Do you think that people are, you know, the human race is pushing for something maybe inside of us all wants to reach this full potential? Who knows? Maybe we're going to have to get off this planet because we're going to destroy it, or come up with some brilliant technology so we can morph into another solar system. I don't know.
But yes, it's that drive of like wanting to feel better, right? Because like if you're successful or if you've reached your full potential, you're feeling better. If you want to have more ideas and be more creative, you're feeling better doing that. So it really comes down to people starting to have an awareness of that they're really not feeling as good as they feel like they can be, and they want to feel better. And, you know, I'm reminded of, you know, Atana's been doing this his whole life. I've been working with Atana for 11 years now, and
like
I can
more than most
even,
people are often married, Carol. I'm just going to let you know. Not just one of those casual things.
Well, in the, you know, like the difference from 11 years ago to now, but like, yeah, so like I'm recalling when I was first starting in energy healing and going to like a health fair in my community. And so it was, you know, just like in a multi-purpose room in a building. It wasn't a big expo or anything like that. And, you know, maybe 30 or so people there. And I remember like being really a little bit anxious about it, because I didn't know how I was going to be received. You know, like, are people just going to think that I am like from another planet? Are they going to shun me? Are they, you know, because it wasn't that far from the time when I was talking, you know, like I had to, there was literally a time at work prior to my energy healing when I was talking to a colleague about juicing organic carrots, you know, and we had to like go around the corner and discuss how much better organic carrots were, you know, because people would think that, you know, they didn't know what to do with us. And so it's really wonderful to look back at that, you know, like at that health fair. I'm like sitting there ready to explain to people in a science-y, technological, you know, like brain way, like this is what energy healing is and how it can help you. You know, it's like I had like a poster session, even like, what is energy healing, how does it help you, you know? And now it's like I can say to people are more interested, as this whole show is talking about, but now it's like, hey, you want to feel better, you know, get some energy healing. And
absolutely.
it's just, it's more accepted now, and that's so beautiful, because as more people find out that it's that thing that it's like hard to put into words, right? Because it's feeling. And we've spent so much time, you know, trying to put feelings into words and things like that, and it's just trying to cogitate an experience. And so it's just people are starting to figure that out, that it's like, oh, just have the experience, and then you don't have to like work with the words. That was something I had to do, right? Like, I had to learn that myself. Like, for me, and also like to help others, like learn to like just experience, you know, just like just get on the table and experience it, and then we won't have to like find the words for it, because the words are different for every person.
And it's like you have to experience it. It's a little bit like a deep, amazing meditation. You can talk about the benefits of that, but it's not until you do it that you realize the effects. So we're just going to go to another quick commercial break, but thank you, Carol. That was great. And when we come back, we're going to speak to our other guest, Saber, and have a bit more of a chat with Tana. So stay tuned, listeners. We'll be straight back. Welcome back to Let's Talk Healing. I am once again your host, Anna, and today we are discussing the role of the healer and why energy healing right now is such a big topic. We have a couple of guests, and one of those other guests today is Saber. She is the flaming redhead tennis pro healer extraordinaire. Hello, Saber.
Woohoo! How you doing?
Well, hey, I hear that you were in a Tana's crystal store.
I was. My son and I went on an adventure today because he is home from school, and I wanted to take him to see a Tana's place. And wow. It was awesome. Amazing. I'm telling you, Tanya, you've done such a wonderful job with your inventory, considering not just crystals, but other things in there, like soaps and jewelry. And my friend Jessica was with me today, and she was looking at these cat and dog bowls with there's a little reservoir where you can put the crystals, or the crystals are already embedded in there. And so the crystals charge the water that your animal drinks. And you can also do this with your, a wine decanter, which you can bless your wine. Oh, God bless your wine. And the crystals. I'm like,
amazing.
Amazing. And so important for your daily lives. Yes. So it's so
fantastic.
Fun. So fun.
And I want to, I'm dying to get over there. I told Tana a little while, I said to you, Tana, last week, that my goal is to come over next year. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to come and bathe myself in crystal light in that great big crystal store.
Oh, we would love to have you here. It's going to be so amazing.
Yay.
I'm just thinking about it right now, and the healing is working on me from a distance.
Oh, my God, that's going to be so amazing.
Feel
all
the vibes
together.
Oh, just on that topic, just before I launch into my discussion with you, Saber, I just want to tell our listeners that Akana has lots of places you can find him. One is this incredible crystal store that you can look on his YouTube page and see all the pictures of the crystals. But Akana just doesn't have, he has YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. He is everywhere. He's got a fantastic website, and on that website you can find his classes, his books, his incredible, beautiful mantras that I play all over the place. Hey, Akana, I didn't tell you either that mantra occasionally I play in my car. I know you're not supposed to, but I actually left about 5 minutes of recorded message to one of my girlfriends while I was singing it very loudly by accident. So I made a phone call to her, and then I thought I'd hung up, but I was chanting that mantra for about 5 minutes on a recorded message.
The most priceless
message. It was like a gift to her. Anyway, back to you, Saber. I just wanted to share with our listeners that they could find Orlatana's work. But let's talk about this role of energy healing and why you think it's such a big topic right now.
Well, you know how people have been saying that, you know, wisdom is priceless, and wisdom is something that, and your education is something that no one can ever take away from you. And I think that healing, the ability to self-heal, the ability to know how to self-heal, the knowledge of self-healing is in the same regard. No one can take away your ability to self-heal. No one can take away your knowledge of self-healing. And it's always been there. It's always been within you. And unfortunately, that wisdom that it is there has been hidden or shrouded. We talked about deception last week, and I think that's one of the biggest deceptions that have been going, is that you have to go to someone else to self-heal. This is something that is outside of yourself, and that is not true. And so knowing that you can self-heal, it's almost like having the world at your fingertips, because you can do anything, right? If you have knowledge and you can self-heal, the world is your oyster. And so having someone like Atana or Carol or myself, and you, on an amazing healer, to help you facilitate this journey, but also to help you get to where you need to be so that you can feel comfortable healing yourself on your own. And then, just like Atana has taught me, to teach others how to teach themselves. It's such a gift that's revolving, that never ends. It's like the infinite gift you can give yourself. And then it just so happens that you will teach other people how to do the same thing. You just don't stop. You just feel as if it's a divine right. And when you see someone else you see yourself in someone else that does not believe or understand that they can self-heal, you just have to go there. You feel like it's their divine right, and something within you is like, it's like a tiger. It pounces. It says, you can do this too. And it's such a beautiful gift to give others. I was just sitting with my family the other day. My boys and I were in the living room, and they're playing, and I was just thinking about you all and Atana and our show and how beautiful my family is, how centered our family is, how balanced our family is. And I can't imagine my life any different. And I started to think, you know, what if I never went through this change? What if I didn't discover how to self-heal? I don't know where I would be today. I don't even know if I'd be alive today. So the gifts that come from, I really truly mean that. I don't know if I would be healthy enough to be alive today. I don't know if I would be healthy enough to be the mother that I am today. And that gift just keeps going generational to generation, right? What I'm teaching my children, the things that I know today that my children are learning from me is just, it's just priceless, absolutely priceless. So thank you to everyone who's ever helped me get to this point. I'm so freaking proud of all of us, and this is awesome. And we just got to keep this going. And we got to teach everyone how to do this. But remember how to do this. Everyone knows how to do this. They do.
They do. And look, I wanted to just thank you for bringing that up, because I think there's sort of a lot of mystery around energy healing as well. And really the fact is what you guys promote is that you can learn it. And, you know, Atana has classes. It's got a great online course you can do. Otherwise, you can go to classes in person, but you can learn this stuff. My only problem is that I forget things, and I think that's part of being human, is that you can develop these skills and you can practice, but you still forget. And that's why it's really nice to be in part of a community as well, because you're like, yeah, right, I already know that, and I just got to bring that in, you know, again.
That's a good idea. Yeah, good idea.
We do forget, don't you reckon?
Oh, you're talking to Miss Forgetful right here. I have to like write down like the outfits that I like that are good combos in my my closet. That's a good outfit. Wear that next week, you know. You liked that outfit. Wear it again. Thank goodness my husband's a cook. My kids would be having eggs every day, three times a day, you know. So I totally get it.
Hey, Saber, do you reckon, you know how we've like had these celebrity chefs, celebrity master chefs, on TV with the whole program and everything. Do you think that the role of energy healer will ever get to that level?
Yes. And I honestly, just the other day, I was thinking about us starting something like that, some kind of like celebrity healer showdown, the best healer, you know, like, and then there were eight, and then there were five, and then there were one, you know. Who's got the most magic hands on the show? I think it will become... Yes. Who is the best? And I think Atana would be up there. Carol would be up there. Definitely.
And you. I don't reckon anyone would be able to shoot a tennis ball like you can, as well as heal at the same time. Like, it would be pretty amazing.
Thank you.
So just, you know, on that topic, I'm quite fascinated. It's the rise of fame of energy healers. Where do you think that's going to stop?
It's not going to stop. It's going to keep going. And I definitely want to bring up something that I've been seeing a lot. I have the utmost respect for the medical community. I have several really good friends in the medical community. And as I've talked about this before in the air, that there is, you know, whenever you say I'm an energy healer, there's a lot of people, and it seems to be an older generation that speaks this way, but, oh, I'm not into that stuff, you know what I mean? I'm just going to go to the regular doctor and do it, right? And we're not waging war on the wisdom that the medical community knows. I would not be alive today if I did not have a cesarean section for my first son. So that is something I was just speaking of. I wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for a ton. right? So both sides, the energy healing side, the spirit healing side, and the physical earth suit side, are just as important as each other. They're both interchangeable. They both need to work together to complete a balanced system. And I have to say, in the past year, my medical friends, my doctor friends, my nurse friends have done a 180 in terms of opening up to receive this information. They are wanting to learn more. They are seeing more, experiencing more. Even in the operating rooms, they are experiencing things, miracles, visions. They are seeing things that they have never seen before. And so what do? They come at Saber. And I said, I told you. It's happening.
It's also because you're just awesome. We're going to go to another quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this role of the energy healer and why it's such a hot topic right now. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Let's Talk Healing. Today's topic has been the role of the energy healer and why healing is such a big topic right now. Atana, I'm going to come back to you because, you know, we've heard from Saber, we've heard from Carol. I just wanted to hear a little bit more from you about, you know, why you think the rise of the popularity of energy healing.
Well, it's the most interesting part of energy healing is it helps you basically reset your whole system. You basically reset your whole system and you go back into a so-called factory reset, and then your energy system starts rebooting. And so as you're doing this energetically, it can by itself recognize, like the immune system, where the blind spots were. You know, we all have like bacteria and viruses in our system. And there was this, for example, there was this amazing Kneipp, German doctor, who promoted like cold and hot treatments, where you go from hot to cold, so that it boosted the immune system up, and the blind spots of the immune system basically disappeared for a couple of hours, where the system then recognized and self-repaired. Your system has all the tools and everything required for self-healing. And I'm glad Seva brought that up too, because we have everything that we need. We're not deficient. The illusion is that we are deficient and makes us dependent. Ideally, we reconsider and we recognize that we are all one and connected to our source. And by our source connection, the illusion of separation starts to transform. A lot of the diseases come from feeling separated. And when our system is feeling it doesn't really is fully supported, it feels it is a little bit more separated. And the less separated you are in your system, the stronger energetically and physically you're going to be and perform in your life. Now, energy work brings a connection, an energetic connection, like a blanket, like an energy blanket. And your whole system starts to communicate with each other. And often when we had experiences in our lives that are these experiences trapping and disconnecting areas from each other so that they're not communicating right with each other anymore. And so the energy is not transferred correctly to the upper or lower chakras or to the internal organs or to the glands. And that's how disease or dysfunction starts, because there's not enough energy. If there's not enough energy, then of course the system starts to scramble and it goes like into that stress mode and only provides the energy to the surviving aspects, similar like the stress, the fight flight response. And when you are in a stress, in a fight and flight response, your system is not actually giving enough energy into all the internal organs. It shuts down, for example, the digestive system, because when you run away from a tiger, you don't need to use the bathroom. So it's going into self-preservation. And by self-preservation, it means it takes over. The survival mode takes over. And when you look at people with the stress that we're experiencing on a daily basis, we are so often in survival mode where we just want to get to the day. We want to just get to this next meeting. We just want to get to this next moment, to this next experience, that we are actually just like in a stress fight and flight mode. And so our energy system is then kind of locked into that mode, because if that happens for, let's say, a month, 2 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years back to back, and life challenges happening, then of course your system thinks, well, that's how it should be working all the time. What, of course, it's not realistic, because your whole system will start breaking down. And so energy work brings you back to a factory reset. You get into a place, you know, even if you do energy work for stress release, it's probably gonna make your life and extend your life probably another 10 years. Because
Yeah. That's really interesting that you say that, because, you know, my own experience, Tanner and I do weekly phone calls together, doing one-on-one sessions, but this year has been hands down the most stressful year of my life. And I won't go into details, but, you know, there have been massive themes of death, loss of a child, huge financial challenges, all of that. But this energy practice, actually, I feel good, you know. I can honestly say that I feel good. And it is hands down due to this practice. And I reckon that I'm going to, you know, go and kick some goals. And I honestly think it's because it's true. This preserves you. It preserves your ability to face and challenge anything. That's really true.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm going to maybe live to 130, Atana.
Oh. Well.
I've been doing so much energy healing on myself. You know, I might last forever.
Well, I would love to see you being 130, and me witnessing this would be great. You know, and it would be also good if we keep this going as long as possible to support the people waking up, because what I'm seeing through this awakening process that I had very early on, I can support the people and support them in this awakening process, you know. And I love to see how people wake up that have never even experienced energy work. I have seen people even waking up, and when I say waking up, recognizing the value of energy work or being an energy being in their lives. When that happens, specifically with people who were fully against it, that is so amazing. And it's amazing how when just people didn't know, that's all it is. It's not like they were actually being fooled in a way where they say, well, this is not realistic. And people often say, well, this is a pseudoscience, you know, and this is all pseudoscience. And then often I respond, like, most of our science was at one point a pseudoscience. The humanity at that point when was introduced into that the Earth is round, like a sphere. I mean, that was a pseudoscience. They wanted to burn that guy. Right? And now, I mean, and so we are not far from that. And the scientific community is very judgmental when new evidence comes in, because everybody in the scientific community, they had to work hard to get onto their chair. And they don't want to just lose their chair by something that comes in there that has no value to them. So it has to be proven. It has to be introduced. And I worked with a lot of scientists that were not real scientists when they started. There were painters that had awakenings, or people, just regular Joes from the street that started an invention. But that's how humanity evolved. It's not always the scientist that actually invented it. It's the scientist that made it reproducible. And so when you go into the scientific project, they say, well, if you can recreate the same study, the same outcome, then we will consider that. But often, and I you know, I grew up in Germany, when you are being introduced into the scientific community, that is like, these are like distinguished people. They do this their whole life. Their half of their life is polishing up their ego to hold that position and to expand on that. And it's tough because there's every day something new is coming up, you know. So it's really the scientific or archaeological communities and chairs, they always have to maintain and manage what's coming up to the surface, because what in their mind is like, what can humanity, what can we actually handle? Because they have to start the work. They have to reproduce that. And that's a lot of work. So now think about it. Mm-hmm. When you have your chair, when you have your position, and you have your daily routine down pat, and now all of a sudden you're being confronted with five new projects, and you have a limited budget, and you're working at a scientific place, and you have to only that budget to recreate these and these projects, and you can only choose one for 1 year that you can recreate. Four of them are just going to go right back in the cupboard. So how that system is being put up, it's not so much even that they're blocking it. They just don't even have the resources often to follow through with it. And we have so many new inventions and ideas, and oh my God, there's so much happening on a daily basis that we have to think, you know, we are open to the common sense, just common sense. Bioenergy is already proven. We just have to pull all the data together, because these scientific studies have been conducted from different places, because different areas had interest in it for different reasons, for different research that they were paid for. Now, if you condense that and you basically distill that in pure information, then you have a lot of scientific data. You just have to have the resources to pull together. You have to have actually somebody researching it, the research that's already happened, and then pull that all together deeper than like Googling it. You know, there's a lot of scientific papers that are coming up every month, and you're being surprised what information there is about the auric field. Just think about the Killian photography, like the X-ray inventions that even with Killian photography started at the same time. There's already so much out there with Tesla. Oh my God, there's like so much that already happened, but there's also being a very important part of putting a lid on it so that it can be marketed. If it can be, like, have you ever tried to patent something? If it's naturally occurring, you cannot patent it. So you have to put something artificial in it in order to have a patent. So that's how our whole system is here made up. And so it forces even the most honest person to put something artificial in their natural ingredient of their products. So just think about that. And so this is getting more and more into like Wikipedia kind of way, where you just want to just share the information like Tesla did and let humanity sort it out. But at the same time, energy healing, energy work is the most natural form of healing. The mother, when she touches her child and the child has a pain, the mother puts the hand on that area. And the child says, Mama, can you put your hand on here? And that's the most natural response of life, is like, put your hand on here, Mama, that hurts. And then the child says, no, not there, it's here. Here is where it's hurt. Then please put your hand on there. And then the mother says something, and I believe there is an exchange of energy and a prayer happening that's already creating the solution for whatever is wrong with the child in that moment. And the child actually develops and activates that trust that the mother has that child's back. In that moment, healing, self-healing is activated. And if you look at the placebo or nocebo effect, even if you just, I'm a ruthless healer. You give me an opportunity to heal, to self-heal, to activate, to bring it in, I'm going to do it. Even if I put my foot in my mouth and people say, you're not welcome at this party anymore. And I'm going there and say, you know what? This is about healing. This is about transformation. And it doesn't matter how you feel about this or not, I'm going to say this because this is part of the healing. And how you take it, it's your problem. But as an energy healer, I don't also want to offend nobody. But what I'm doing is I'm working the energy. If you don't want to believe in energy, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Don't bother, because I have all that energy field for me. I utilize it.
Well, you are just awesome. I love it. Everything you say, I could listen to every word, Atana. Anyway, we are going to have to draw this show to an end. We could talk about this a lot more, but it's time is ticking away for us. So I would just like to say to everybody, I hope you have an amazing week. And could you just say a quick goodbye, please? Atana,
goodbye. Goodbye.
Everybody.
I love you. Goodbye. Wonderful Saber, wonderful Carol, wonderful Dawn, wonderful Anna, and wonderful listeners. Just know we energetically have your back. So if you ever feel like you have no support or something is not as it should be going, just know there's a group of people. They are working the energies for self-healing, to activate self-healing, and to remind all of us that we are energy beings first.
Thank you, everyone. See you next week.
Om Hari Om. Om Hari Om.